So when you develop for an open source project like Postgres, basically what you're doing is you're producing a patch, and that patch has a life cycle. The first thing, and this is the ideal way of doing it, the people drift from this and they tend to get disappointed because they leave out parts and then their patch gets rejected. So if you're doing this right, the first thing you need to do is start a discussion. Postgres hackers list, you need to identify the problem. Quite often people come up with a solution before they've actually figured out what the real problem is. And then they'll get shot down in flames because they've written this solution and somebody says, yeah, but the problem is just that there's a one-line bug over there. And they've wasted 20, 30 hours on their 500k patch and obviously get pretty annoyed about it. But it'll get rejected regardless. So once we've identified the problem, we can discuss the design. Now this is where the discussions can often get interesting. Depending on what the patch is, you can have people arguing just over syntax differences, or you can, if it's something particularly complex, then you'll have guys like Keke Simon and Tom Lane, who's one of the leading developers, arguing about things that the rest of us have no hope of understanding. Most of us just try and keep up to speed, learn as we go, and chip in wherever it makes sense. So that's how you're supposed to do it. The places where it tends to go wrong is people don't realize necessarily that there is a process that they should be following. So they go off and develop their patch on their own and then submit it and get upset because, well, we maybe wanted that feature, but we didn't want to do it in that way. Others will hack for fun. They know there's a process, but really, they don't really care. They just want, they've got this little project they want to do for themselves, and then they kind of throw it back at the community and say, look, I did this for my own use. If you want it, there it is. That's fine. We'd kind of rather you did it, followed the process, because then chances are we've got a more useful patch, but okay, it's great that they've been hacking away anyway. Similar to that, what we sometimes find is the corporate contributors will develop a feature in there for their own personal needs, and contributing it back to the community is secondary to them. So they'll develop it as they want it, and then just throw it back at us and say, look, we're not going to do any more with it. If you want it, there's the code. So, when you're producing the patch, pretty much the first rule is you need documentation. You've probably read the Postgres docs and hopefully agree that they're pretty darn good compared to many open source projects. Well, one of the reasons for that is whenever anyone submits a feature that requires documentation, then they have to do it. We expect them to do it. We help out if they're not native English speakers, for example, but we still need that documentation. Not necessarily right up front, but with the final version of the patch at least. So you submit your patch, and that gets added to a queue that's managed by Bruce Mongin. It then in time gets reviewed by the community. Feedback will be given to the developer. They may well get sent back and told, right, we need to refactor the way that's done and perhaps break out that code into a separate function. Even things like, well, actually, now that you've coded it, it doesn't look like it's going to work how we wanted it at all. Thankfully, that doesn't happen very often. So what happens is basically that feedback goes back, the patch author will create a new patch, resubmit it, and then you just go through the refinement process again until it's ready, which is hopefully within a couple or three iterations at most. So, once we've got a big, long, huge pile of patches ready to commit, we hit a thing called feature freeze. Now, this is normally planned that feature freeze will last 2, maybe 3 months. In reality, it never does. And this last one was the worst case of all for various reasons that I won't particularly go into today. But the 8.3 feature freeze was scheduled to start on April 1st, 2007. Now, we aim generally to release 2-3 months at most after feature freeze starts. We released 8.3 on February the 4th. 10 months. Not great. So, during that time, basically what's happening is we've got this big long queue of patches with maybe 100 patches in there, implementing new features, generally not bug fixes because they tend to get applied fairly quickly. And we're doing the kind of final steps of the review and applying the patches. Well, oh, I missed a slide. The problem is it just doesn't scale, as we've found. Patches bit rot in the queue. This means that as the code changes over that 10-month period, the patch that you wrote 8 months ago will no longer apply. APIs have changed internally, so you end up having to do a lot of refactoring. And because the commit fest is sort of the feature freeze, the feature freeze is right at the end of the development cycle, it means suddenly we've got this mad flurry of rehashing patches and bringing them up to date again. And that's actually why one of the reasons why the time gets so vastly extended, because as things have rotted, they have to be redone and so on. Another issue with this is that developers can wait months for feedback. It's kind of hard work reviewing patches, especially complex ones that very few people understand. Heike, for example, here did a patch for 8.3, which unfortunately didn't go in. What was it? Group index items.
Yes.
It's a way of optimizing index lookups, basically. It went into the patch queue fairly early on in the development cycle. Very few people understood it enough to give any meaningful feedback. Those that didn't really get to look at it until 10 months later. Now, there's a couple of problems with that. First of all of a sudden, Heike's got a month to bring it into shape because he's finally got some feedback. But also, if it had been somebody other than Heike, they might well have lost interest, gone off, moved on to a different project, either another project within Postgres or another project altogether. You know, it could be working on OpenOffice or something. So we kind of came to the conclusion at the end of this development cycle that really doesn't work well. So we came up with a solution, commit fests. There was a lot of discussion on the core mailing list where we figured out exactly how we wanted to try and tackle this problem. And we decided to give it a cool name just to try and interest people a little. So the idea of the commit fest, every 2 months we review all patches in the queue. Now before the commit fest ends, every patch must be either committed to CVS, returned to the author with feedback, or rejected outright. We do not accept any new patches into the queue. That doesn't mean we won't accept them on the mailing list, of course. But we won't accept any new patches until the commit fest is complete. And all our committers are supposed to be focused on clearing the patch queue. Now, we're actually writing probably a 3/4 of the way through the first commit fest right at the moment. This one we kind of expected to last longer than the 2 weeks or so that we intended that they'd last, primarily because we're picking up all the patches that were submitted during the last 10-month feature freeze at the end of 8.3. So we had, I think it was something like 2,000 messages in the patch queue, which probably equates down to 1,500 patches. And there's quite a lot of work there, but I think we're 3/4 of the way through now, something like that. So, every 2 months we have the commit fest. We get to the very final one, which is kind of commit fest slash mini feature freeze. From this point on, no new features are accepted for that release. We concentrate on applying all patches. And at some point towards the end of that, the translators start work. We obviously don't want them starting too early because strings can change and that invalidates the work they've done already. So they tend to start right at the end. And also the advocacy and press machine gets underway. Press releases are drafted, translated, websites updated and so on, or ready to be updated. Once we've got all the patches in, at the end of the feature freeze, we start on the beta releases. You've all seen Postgres beta releases, beta 1, beta 2 and so on. Now the idea of the beta releases is to flush out the bugs. One of the things we've found over recent releases is although we've kind of gone to great lengths to improve the way we manage and test the code, we have a thing called the Postgres build farm, which is running regression tests daily across tens of different platforms and compiler versions and you name it. What we've found though recently is that we think people have seen that and kind of said, oh, well, actually they're testing it, so I don't need to. Wrong. We need everybody testing. It's an open source project. We don't have 100 people just doing QA on Postgres. So when you see those beta releases out, go test them, try them with your applications, run the regression tests, report the problems you find. We had a particular issue on the Windows release for this, for 8.3, we changed the compiler that we used to build the to compile the package, and consequently that changed various things like the runtimes that we have to bundle with it. People didn't really, I think, understand what a big change that was, because from the outside you don't really see any different. However, it meant we found various previously unnoticed packaging issues where none of our test machines were configured in specific ways, which is, I'm sure you realize on Windows there's a million and one ways to configure a system, and you've got 15 flavors of Vista, 27 different versions of Windows 2003. We just can't test them all. And what we found when 8.3.0 came out was that there were a couple of situations where the runtime installs didn't work properly on specific platforms in specific configurations. That could have been avoided if more people had downloaded the test versions and tried them out beforehand. So yeah, when Microsoft or Sun say it's a beta version, come try it out. Yeah, well, they're commercial companies. We don't expect to have to test their software for them. But Postgres is open source, so you know, we need everybody to chip in. Try it out, report the bugs. So, after we're happy with the beta versions, we think we've nailed all the bugs, we shout, we hang around, we kind of hear about, try out a few last things. Anyone got any more bugs? Any last issues? This is normally when we expect to pick up packaging issues, by the way. So the release candidates, because at this point we don't expect to be making any more changes. And that's when we'll really concentrate on the actual packaging side as opposed to the core server side. So if you've not tried the beta version, then please at least get one of the release candidates and give that a whirl on your systems. So, release day. Press releases. All our press releases are now these days professionally scheduled, fired out with embargoes to the media who in theory only publish them at the time that we say they're supposed to. We have announcements posted to the websites, mailing lists, Slashdot, Freshmeet, you name it. There's somebody probably posting an announcement to it. The web team. It's quite an important day for the web team and the infrastructure team. We kind of spend all day sitting on an IRC channel, listening out to the chatter about anything that might be going wrong with any of the infrastructure. Basically watching for the Slashdot effect. If anybody doesn't know, the Slashdot effect is something that happens if you have a story posted to the Slashdot website that's on one of your servers. You can get such a huge influx of visitors that it's very common for a server to be brought down by the extra traffic. Now, when we released 8.0, it was a huge release for us because we'd introduced Windows compatibility and a whole bunch of other features. At the time, our web servers were running on, I think, about 3 servers running FreeBSD, but they were all in jails, which had a UnionFS file system underneath, which we've since found is not particularly efficient. And Slashdot brought down all 3 of those servers, brought them pretty much to their knees. Whilst that was going on, the infrastructure team were rolling out new servers in pretty much real time. And we just about managed to survive as we were tweaking configs and rolling out the extra servers as the discussions were going on Slashdot and elsewhere. So these days we tend to keep a very close eye on things just to make sure nothing happens. That said, we don't use UnionFS anymore. We know what Apache settings do and don't work well on FreeBSD, and we barely notice a blip these days in the current infrastructure, thankfully. So that's it. We're done. Fix any bugs reported. We do this before we branch the CVS code, because in the first couple of weeks, you tend to get a whole bunch of new users pulling down the code. So by fixing only bugs for those 2 weeks or so, we only have to do it once rather than patching, applying the same patch to both branches. Take a long hot bath, a few drinks, and then start all over again for another year in the life of Postgres. So that's kind of it, and I think I've made up 5 minutes of Simon's time and left myself with 5 minutes for questions, if anybody has any. Well, the build farm was set up by one of the developers 2 or 3 years ago. Basically, we have a central server which collects build results and regression test results from various client machines. So if you're running an interesting platform, for example, I've got a machine running OSX Leopard. Dtrace patches have just been committed. So we needed a new machine that would test Dtrace on OSX. So I applied to have that machine set up as a build farm member. I get my membership back. Basically, all I do is set up a few Perl scripts on that machine. Then every time that's run, it pulls down a fresh copy of the code, builds it, runs all the regression tests, and uploads them to the build farm server. Along with logs of each phase of the build, so the configure phase, the make phase, the different regression test outputs. And then the build farm publishes all the results of the builds on a website where we can go and look, and we can see that machines have gone red because something's gone wrong, the build's failed, or regression tests have failed. And basically the idea is that we have as many different combinations of compiler and OS as possible running as build farm members, and we can see if there's any platform specific bugs picked up, and very occasionally we'll see a patch will send the entire build farm red, so we, at that point, have to take the committer out the back and shoot them.
Sounds a lot like sample build
farm.
So
I'm not familiar with that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Sounds
okay.
Sound
build
farm.
Sound?
Anybody else?
Have we got a rough estimate of when we think the first commit fest is going to be done and dusted?
2 weeks.
It does seem to be ramping up. I think we're at the phase now where there's probably about a dozen patches that won't be committed but need some feedback. Which just requires someone to read it and think about it
post-B. Yeah, we kind of knew that this first one was going to be a bit odd, because A, we'd never done one before, so we don't know what processes work and what don't work. Bruce has been kind of refining the way that we manage the patch queue throughout, changing it. Not all of us necessarily agree that the way he's doing it is the right way, so there's been a bit of arguing back and forth about whether we use a wiki to track things or whether we do it on his current queue management system. Plus, of course, we were picking up all the patches from the last 10-month-long feature freeze from 8.3, So there's actually a heck of a lot of code there that needs to be got through in this first one. In the next fest, because of learning at 2 months, obviously we expect there to be a lot less new stuff in there. So we should be able to get it down to maybe 2 weeks.
So probably 2 or 4 weeks from that, it might be worth something, like maybe quite compiling pieces of code or whatever. Having a look and having a poke.
Yeah.
The new patch
yeah.
Okay.
I think it's important that you should actually post a design in the
test. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right, well, thank you very much, Dave.